The name of the movie is With Love and a Major Organ. What an absolute delight to be talking with Anna Maguire and Hamza Haque. And first of all, I mean, Hamza, it's nice to see you again. I haven't seen you since we launched Transplant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that wrapped up. Was that a sad affair?
I think sad isn't the right word. What was great, I can only speak to my experience of it, which was, for those who watched the show, Bashir kind of gets to say goodbye to his job and the people that he loves. So I actually got to grieve on camera. Everything that you saw that he was going through, like I just gave it to him because, you know, you see Mags die, and really I was just saying goodbye to my on-screen relationship with Laurence, and then he leaves the hospital to start to do his own thing and go off into the unknown. And I was just like, this is really reflective of everything that's going on with me professionally and in that regard. So I had about a three month long goodbye with the show, and whatever you see on camera is exactly how I felt about leaving Transplant behind. So I'm not sad about it, but I'm left wanting more, which is exactly kind of how you want people to feel. You don't want to finish a project and be just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, you want a little bit of bittersweetness.
It was a bit like Breaking Bad, I thought, though, that you almost got the feeling by the way it ended, and I don't know, people will insist that we're giving stuff away by talking about a show that ended months ago.
Right.
But it ended on the same note that it began, which
yes.
was about a transplant.
Yeah. Yeah. And here we go. That's how we got the title.
Anna, I want to sort of set this movie up because unfortunately I haven't seen it. So,
it's all right.
But I hear the term magical realism, and I read some of the descriptions of the setup for the film, and I think, okay, I need to know more.
Well, it's the story is about a woman who, Annabelle, whom I play, who is, I guess, sort of at her wit's end in terms of the world and sensitivity and what it feels like to be a human made up of raw nerve endings in the world. And she meets Hamza's character, George, kind of by accident. She completely falls head over heels in love with him because he's the only person who is outside on an inclement weather day, just as she is herself, but for very different reasons. And she sends him her heart in word form. And then when he doesn't know how to respond to that, she literally pulls her heart out of her chest and sends it to him. And instead of falling in love with her, he actually takes her heart and runs away with it. And so it feels like it's a love story, but quite an odd love story. It's more about, I think, pain and loneliness and isolation and how we overcome that in community, but also in finding ways to sort of love ourselves, I guess.
Help me understand, though, because the idea is that your heart is an object. It's not necessarily your heart. So again, we come back to this concept of magical realism. So how does that work? What's the mechanism of that?
Well, the mechanism is make-believe.
Okay.
The nature of movies, which is kind of what I love about it, because if you think about any kind of films that play with those kinds of concepts of reality, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or Yorgos Lanthimos' work or Miranda July's work or anything like that, you can kind of you set up a conceit and we run with it. Hamza's character quite literally runs away with my heart, which is a lantern, because it's about shedding light out into the world.
And what happens to you when that heart is taken out?
Well, therein lies the sort of dramatic conceit. The problem is, what do you do without a heart? And then also, what do you do with a heart? I think that's sort of one of the big questions that Julia Lederer, the writer, is really asking, is how do we live in the world both as heartful beings and heartless beings? And how do we find a sort of way to survive?
So, Hamza, does it take a great deal of trust in a director and writer to do a movie that takes place in almost an alternative universe, you know, almost like Wes Anderson or other directors like that?
Yeah, it does. And I think the beautiful thing about that both Julia Lederer, the writer, and Kim Albright, our director, it's not even that, or it is so much that we trusted them, but what was beautiful is that they trusted us just as much. They created this world and they created this vibe, and we were allowed to exist in it exactly how we wanted to. So it was a very, very collaborative thing, because you couldn't really define it. So we were creating our own definition of whatever this thing was going to be. And we were encouraged to take risks, and there was no right, there was no wrong. We did several versions of every scene, and it just, they were all correct, because like Anna's saying, you're trying to figure out what it's like to live without a heart, and you're trying to figure out what it's like to live with a heart, and none of it makes sense, so it's all correct.
Because I'm thinking about like Guillermo del Toro and how he has to create this alternative universe on his sets, and I just think, you know, how do you know you're in the right place?
Trust.
Yeah.
And play. I mean, the whole point of this weird job that we do is to play and find ways to be as honest as possible through that play, and finding like-minded performers and crew, and like working together with Hamza was just such a joy, and everybody else on set, because we got to, it was kind of a yes and situation.
Yeah, absolutely. It was
the total improv slogan.
It was just trust and faith, because you just, you have to accept so much, and so much of this movie itself is about empathy, right? Like when Annabelle sends George her heart, when he runs away with it, it is this physical embodiment of empathy. And you take on somebody else's emotions, you feel what they feel, and you try to make sense of it. And it's somebody trying to deal with being empathetic in a world that has kind of gone numb to that. Like the beautiful thing about, I keep on saying the word beautiful, but I can't think of, you know, the world
lyrical
building.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. The lyrical aspect of this thing was that everybody in this world is living on this thing called Life Zap, which is a mechanism to numb yourself to not only your own experience but everyone else's as well. And when Annabelle wants to say no to that, I don't want that in my life, I want to experience it the way that I will, and she sends it to possibly the only other person who isn't on Life Zap either.
For very different reasons.
For very different reasons. They're trying to negotiate their emotions and their current understanding of the world to a very real world reaction to love. And hilarity and chaos ensues, as it often does in real life as well.
Anna, you're also a director, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, is it tough to be directed? Because I directed television. I've never directed cinema. But John LaCoyer once told me, you are not directing this movie. Shut up and act.
I mean, Kim might have a very different answer. I find it really great to be able to do all of these different things, because it means I can give myself more fully to the acting of it, because I'm like, this isn't my baby in that way. I'm so excited to collaborate. I love collaborating. I want to make interesting work with interesting people and wear different hats in that respect. And I was also part of the development of the film, and Julia and I had worked together on a short film called It's Nothing that I had directed and she'd written. So we had a working relationship prior, and Kim and I had worked together on a film that she'd shot in the UK actually previously, a short. So we had this kind of lovely, soupy working relationship. And then Hamza came on board, and we all kind of, as you said, it's faith and pitching in and jumping on board and play. And I think that was the spirit of the way the film was shot. And so, it felt very collaborative in that respect.
And obviously, you have an English accent, yes. But both of your parents are Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in London, but my mum's from Trois-Rivières and my dad's from Vancouver. And I then came to Toronto for the Canadian Film Centre in 2014. And yeah, sort of been here ever since. So.
And Hamza, I've never been familiar with your origin tale.
Born in Saudi Arabia to Pakistani parents, emigrated to Canada, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada in 2000, and have been living in Montreal for the last 10 years. Spent half of my years in South Africa. You know, we're everywhere.
Sure. Was the Syrian accent tough for you on transplant?
No. You know, I grew up in the Middle East, so, you know, for years, the Canadian industry wasn't very open to people who look like me, so I was just doing generic Arab accent bad guy for a couple of years, and then
convenience store operators,
you know, all that stuff. Yeah. But then, you know, when you have a baseline of doing miscellaneous Middle Eastern accent, to adjust that to the specificities of Syrian accent, and then to go to an extreme of that, and then to dial it back. Like, I'm fortunate enough, when you're growing up around a lot of different cultures and a lot of different languages, that you can pick up and adjust accordingly.
an abiding theme in the interviews I did with co-stars of yours from Transplant was that you are a very low-key actor. And Anna probably may have some thoughts on this as well.
Hi, man.
Well, no, but I've worked with low-key actors on set, and all of a sudden you're whispering at each other. Mm. So I wonder how you maintain an intensity while still playing this very quiet character.
I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know. You just try to be a real person. And I think generally in life, we're all in our privacy. We're both low-key and royalty, you know? And I think with George and in this movie, he is tremendously low-key, and then he feels Annabelle's heart, and then he's just like, oh my God, this is incredible.
You know, I think my favorite moment was when there's one moment in the film when you're very, very high key and you go, what?
Yeah, it's just, you try to, the only way to have ebbs and flows as if there's a normalcy, and I think that requires a little bit of humility and a lot of empathy and a lot of love.
Vanna, good screen partner?
One of the best.
Thank you so much.
The feeling's mutual.
Thank you very much. Good luck.